Hey now, welcome to another edition of the Inside BS Show. I'm Dave Lorenzo, and today we're talking about a subject that everybody can use. Do you want to get into the ideal state to do what you've been born to do and do it perfectly over and over again? I got just the guy for you. In fact, he tells me that you can even renegotiate your existence. Now, if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. Please join me right now in welcoming Chris King to the Inside BS Show. Chris, welcome to the show. I am so excited for today's show. I love this stuff. I love the concept of flow. I need you to tell all of us what flow is and what it would mean if we could get into that state whenever we wanted.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really glad to be here. I love your energy. You are on fire. That is awesome. Thank you. So flow is an optimum state of consciousness where you feel your best. You perform your best. You're never stressed out. And whatever you're doing or working on seems to be just flowing through you. Like it's coming through you instead of from you. It happens almost effortlessly. It's what athletes call being in the zone, or you've heard it as runner's high, or stand-up comedians call it the forever box. It has a lot of different names, but that's what flow
is. All right, now, most of us have, believe it or not, if you're listening, if you're watching, most of us have been in this state at one time or another, but we didn't recognize it for what it was. And we didn't know how we got there. And when it ends, we were like, wow, I wish I could be that way or do that all the time. But Chris, what you're saying is we can actually put ourselves into that state, correct?
Yes, that is exactly what flow is available to everybody, right? You don't have to be an athlete, let alone a professional one. You can be doing anything, whether you're a graphic designer or whether you're a plumber, like you can access a flow state. There are conditions and circumstances that are present that generate flow states. So the idea is that we call them flow triggers or flow switches. There are 22 of them that we know of right now. So the more your business, your life has these flow triggers incorporated into it, the more likely you are to get into flow states and the more you can live your best life.
So I think what we need to do, I'm going to, if I'm not careful here, I'm going to get us to jump to the punchline before we set everything up. So we got to be really careful. Let's start, Chris. Let's give people some examples of flow. I mean, when I first started understanding this concept, I was very young, and I would think about like Michael Jordan taking over a game in the playoffs, and that game. I don't know, those of you who are old enough to remember the game when he had the flu and he scored like 50 points, carried the team on his back, and then like collapsed at the end of the game. In fact, he made a shot, and at one point he shrugged his shoulders and he put his hands up because even he didn't know how he was doing it. This is a state of unconscious competence at the highest level. What are some common examples? Can you give us a couple of common examples of a time when we may have been at work and in that state and just didn't recognize it?
Yeah, this flow has some signature traits to it that you won't recognize in the moment. You'll recognize it after the fact. So, and one of those traits is that there is no I in a flow state, okay? So it's that time that you were working on something and all there was in your awareness was the thing you were working on, right? You weren't thinking about something else. You weren't, remembering anything. And you weren't even aware of yourself sitting in the chair or standing there, whatever you were doing. There was just the thing you were focused on. Okay, so that's one of the signatures of flow states. There's no I, there's no ego construct in a flow state. The other thing that you'll remember is, remember when you were sitting there, you can think back to college or high school or even in your work recently, when you were working on something and you were so focused and it felt like 20 or 30 minutes went by. And then when you looked up at the clock, it was like 2 or 3 hours had passed and you had this amazing piece of work product in front of you. That's a flow state, right? And so those are very common examples beyond Michael Jordan, as the basketball players going unconscious. You said it very well, right? Or there was one, I remember one where he literally closed his eyes at the free throw line and sank it, you know? I mean, just that's, you know, but this is how it shows up in people's everyday lives.
Now, in order for you to get into a flow state, it has to be something that you have a high degree of skill in doing, right? So if I've never played the piano, I can't get myself into a flow state and sit down and suddenly bang out Beethoven's Fifth on the piano, right? I have to have a high degree of skill and I have to be very practiced in order to get into that state, correct?
Incorrect. That's a great question. Okay. Great question. You do not have to be a master, okay? Here's the thing about throw, and this is one of the flow triggers. So this is a great, very, very intuitive question there, Dave. I'm proud of you.
I'm getting there. I'm working myself into a flow state during this interview. Let's go.
Right. You can be a total novice and get into a flow state. You can be an expert and get into a flow state. Here's the way it works. There is a balance. This is one of the 22 flow triggers is the challenge skills balance or ratio. Okay. So if you think about this on like an XY axis, right, where you think of the skill going from your skill level, very low beginner to expert master level. And then you think of the challenge being very easy or very difficult, right? So you have one going this way and one going this way. And you want to balance that out perfectly so that your perceived level of skill for that task is just a little bit below the task itself. There's actually math behind this. It's around 4%. So I'm a mountain bike guy, right? So what does that mean for me? I can jump. I'm a pretty good mountain biker, okay? I can jump a 20 to 25 foot gap. That's pretty good distance, okay? So in order for, now if I do that enough times, it gets kind of boring, right? But in order for me to get into flow, I need to jump something just a little bit more than that. So maybe I go with a 27 foot. That difference of 2 feet makes a big difference. Now, if you're a mountain bike person and you're not, you know, maybe a 2 foot gap, right? You can still get into flow with a 2 foot gap if that's just slightly above what you think you can do.
Okay, so, and what is it about that extra 4% that triggers this state? Is it that your body perceives that it's a challenge, but it's an acceptable challenge, it's a doable challenge that triggers the state? Is that what it is?
Well, there's what triggers it is fear. You gotta have, here's another flow trigger, risk. There's gotta be a little bit of risk involved, okay? And this is all science, okay? This is not woo-woo hippie stuff, okay? So there's a chemical in the brain called norepinephrine. Sometimes it's referred to as noradrenaline. And it has some effects on the body and on the brain. It speeds up muscle reaction. It increases your level of focus. So if you're a little bit scared of, you know, in the case I was just talking about, the mountain bike jump, that's all you're focused on. You're not thinking about what you're going to have for dinner or what you got to do later at work or whatever. So it's a focusing mechanism. So you need that level of focus in order to get to the flow state. So you need the norepinephrine kicking because that's what's going to make you pay attention and get the focus that you need. So, you know, what I've said, you hear people say, oh, we have our fearless leader at the head of the company. I will never follow a fearless leader because somebody who's truly fearless is going to miss something because they're not neurobiologically wired to give it the level of attention it deserves.
Okay. Is there, is it necessary for us to do any type of preparation in order for us to be able to trigger this state on demand? And, you know, the reason I'm asking, let me give you some context here. And I think it's going to be helpful for the audience who are listening, those who are watching. So for me, there was a time when I was speaking to audiences, corporate speeches, maybe 70 plus times a year for 5-6 years consistently. And I was concerned. I was concerned that I had lost my edge. So I started doing stand-up comedy and I didn't know any of this stuff that you're talking about now, but I started doing stand-up comedy to give me a moment of pause before I would take the stage. I had never been, in fact, somebody had told me, you're doing stand-up, I've never seen you even tell a joke. And I'm, you know, I'm a living room funny guy, but I'm not the guy who can go on stage and turn it on and make people laugh. So I practiced. I fell in with a group of comics who were younger than I, sharper than I. And for about 6 months, I consistently bombed and bombed and bombed until I got 5 minutes that were decent. And I, from spending time around these folks, I found that they practiced meditation. Almost all the people who were really good were into transcendental meditation, and they would meditate, you know, about a half hour, 45 minutes before the show would start. Some of them would go on right away. Some of them, you know, the way it works, they pull numbers out of a hat and you either go on right away or you may go on 3 hours later. But they would all meditate so that when they got on stage, it just clicked. And I got to a point where my 5 minutes were tight. They were really good. And I would kill consistently. And it was not, I didn't even have to think about it. And it made everything else I did on a stage from that point forward better. All my corporate speeches were better. The expression is in the room. I was really focused on being present in the speech, talking to the audience. And it even helps with doing this. Like, you know, if I do this 3 times a day and I meditate before I do it, I'm focused, I concentrate on the guests and what they're saying, and I can be in that state now. So is it necessary? The reason I give you that context is that's my ritual for being here in present in the room with a guest like you. Do people have rituals that help them get into this state, or is that not a thing?
They do. And what gets you into flow is not necessarily what gets me into flow. So this can be a very subjective kind of thing. You know, when you were doing the corporate speaking, I don't think you lost your edge. I think you lost your fear, right? You got comfortable. You'd been doing it a lot of times. So what the stand-up did was it introduced...
It scared the shit out of me.
Right, exactly. So number one, you got some risk there. It's terrifying, right? Number two, it introduces novelty. Novelty is another flow trigger, right? Because what happens with novelty in particular is that it amps up the pattern recognition of the brain, right? So the creative centers of the brain really light up. And so, you know, there are, you know, if you're an athlete, for example, then what might get you into flow is something physical, right? Something mental might be more apropos for somebody else. So it's a very subjective kind of thing. If you understand what the flow triggers are and how they work and how they relate to your neurophysiology, then you can start incorporating this stuff. Go, here's how I do it. And you know, at Status Flow, we have a way to audit this. We kind of talk about when was the last time you had this experience? What about the time before that? We start looking at what were the conditions and the circumstances that were present that got somebody or a team into that state, and how do we replicate that?
And does it have to be something that you enjoy? Or can it be something that fear is fear, but does it have to be something you enjoy? Could it be something you dread and you can still get into flow? Because I'm thinking like of an airline pilot or a surgeon, and they're 35 years into being an airline pilot or a surgeon, and, you know, they've been flying for 7 hours and crew rest requirements kick in after like 8 hours. In the last hour, is their performance going to fall off? The surgeon, his 9th surgery of the day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, do you need to love what you're doing in order to be able to generate that state?
It helps. Okay. You don't have to love it necessarily. I will say this much, that flow requires intense focus, whether you're focused because you're in love with something or whether you're hyper-focused because, you know, you're in a situation on an aircraft where it's a life and death situation, right? But focus is focus. The thing about loving what you're doing is that if you're passionate about it, you really love it, you get focus for free. Right? You don't have to think about it. You don't have to work to do it. If you're going to one of those soul-sucking jobs where you have to force yourself to focus, it's much harder. It's much more taxing. It takes more of your resources to generate that. So the short answer is that, do you have to love it? It helps.
All right. So, Chris, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take a minute and think about a case study or a story and make it the most mundane thing that you can think of. When you took a regular person and you helped them get into that state of flow, or you taught them how they could get themselves, better probably described that way, how they could get themselves into that state. So take a minute and think about that. I need to remind folks that we're brought to you by Sandrowski Corporate Advisors. For over 35 years, Sandrowski has been helping people all over the country with their tax planning, consulting, family office advisory, business valuations, forensic accounting, you name it. If it's sophisticated accounting, the folks at Sandrowski can do it. Now, here's the thing. You think that accounting is boring, and that's fine. You can think accounting is boring. The folks at Sandrowski, they're as fired up about accounting as I get about these shows. They're really into it. And this is what you want in an accountant. If you have somebody on your team who's fired up about finding little nuances in the tax code designed to save you millions of dollars, that's the accountant you want. That's the firm you want behind you. You want a case study? You want an example? I'll give you one. Last week, I was in Chicago. I was sitting down with Harry Sandrowski, and he told me that he had a business where the owner was selling the business, and they came to Sandrowski 7 years before the transition where the owner was ready to sell. And the folks at Sandrowski reorganized the business, and the gentleman sold the business for just under $50 million. Well, because of the way the Sandrowski folks reorganized his business, he was able to take advantage of a qualified small business stock exemption in the Internal Revenue Service Code. Now, I don't know what that means, except for the fact that it saved this guy $10 million in capital gains tax. So because he called Sandrowski and because they reformed his company, they reorganized his company, did nothing to the structure of the company, just fixed the paperwork. 7 years later, when he sold, he saved $10 million in capital gains taxes. You don't need to be excited about accounting. You just need to use a phone. Give Sandrowski a call today. Call him at 866-717-1607. 866-717-1607. They're really smart. They'll talk to you that first time for free. You'll see how smart they are. You'll want them involved with you because they're going to save you money. Now, I got something else for you. I have a special business development plan. This is the other thing that we're brought to you by. It's my revenue roadmap guide. Listen, you need a business development plan. You shouldn't try to wing it. I have one for you. It's the same one I use with my clients. Go to revenueroadmapguide.com. That's a website, revenueroadmapguide.com. Enter your contact info. You can download my business development plan for free. You can get it right now. Take it, use it, customize it for your business. The beauty of it is it's based on relationships and thought leadership. There's no cold calling. There's no billboards. There's no bus stop bench advertising. If you're a professional, you got to get this plan. I'm giving it to you for free, but you got to do it now. RevenueRoadmapGuide.com. Enter your contact info. Download it today. It's my gift to you for listening, for watching the show. We're talking to Chris King. We're having a really exciting conversation about how you can get into your peak performance state, your optimal state. It's a state called flow. If you want to reach out to Chris, if you like what you're hearing and you want Chris to teach you how to do this, you got to give him a call. Here's his phone number, 323-977-8766. Now, Chris, before you answer that question that I gave you, I told people it was going to be a minute, but I took a little long with that Sandrowski piece. Before you answer that question, you got to explain to us why you spell peak the way you do. So Chris's company, what Chris does, he's a peak performance coach, and he spells peak this way. It's P-I-Q-U-E. Why is it spelt with the Q-U in there, Chris?
That's a great question, because people ask us, you know, when they go to statusflow.net, like, hey, there's a typo on the website. It's like, no, there's actually not. The reason it's spelled peak is because the work that we do and the way that we do it is incredibly disruptive. It's really uncomfortable. It is an assault on the ego, because the behaviors and a lot of the things that we train in are very counterintuitive. So as an example, what I'm talking about, you want to get 3 to 5 times done, 3 to 5 times more done this week than you normally have. You don't work more hours, right? That's the hamster wheel, working more hours to get more done. You really want to get 3 to 5 times more done, you work fewer hours. Like, that's the trick. And it's really uncomfortable. And that's a very low level kind of disruption. You know, we're talking about some major challenging of what you think reality is. because it all starts with what starts.
So it's so funny that you mentioned that. I think of that, what you described, I call it like the Friday before vacation, right?
Yes, exactly.
You get so much done the Friday afternoon before vacation. You get 3 weeks worth of work done in 4 hours. That's it. You bang it all out.
Yeah, if you want, you really want to, but people say, what's your best peak performance tip? And I'll say, I'll give you one right here. Start every Monday like you're leaving on Friday.
Yeah, no, you crush it. You absolutely crush
Absolutely. Yeah, 3 weeks worth of work wrapped up in 4 days. Boom.
All right. So, Chris, I asked you for a case study. Give us a case study of somebody who you worked with and you were able to teach them to get into this state themselves.
Yeah, so we were working with this business owner. He's in the food and restaurant business. He does a lot of catering. He deals with A-list celebrities. He's very high-end. And he was doing really well and building his empire, really building his brand. And he had a lot of irons and a lot of fires. So he's a very busy guy. He was working at this at a very high-end, well-known cheese shop. And then he had his own business and he had a couple other things going on. And he had just signed the deal for his own brick and mortar restaurant, right? So he's really excited and this is all happening. He says, we just got the place and we hired the architect and paid the money. And then this little pandemic thing happened, right? And his entire industry, right? The food and restaurant business really, really took it hard, right? And, but he didn't. Because we'd already been working together for about a year, better part of a year, maybe a year and a half. And I said, this is awesome. And I know that sounds crazy, but the reality is that struggle and progress are in relationship with each other. You do not get progress without struggle. The bigger the struggle, the better the chance of a catapult forward, right? I said, we are going to leverage this like nobody's business. How? Well, that's where flow comes in. We're going to get real creative. We're going to get real fast. We're going to deal with the emotional regulation that we need to and all the freak out. And I said, what's important to you? And he said, I don't want to fire anybody. Awesome. And you got to love this guy. That's the first thing out of his mouth. It wasn't, I want to survive or I want to hold on to my business. He says, I don't want to fire anybody. God, I love this guy. It's one of the reasons I don't work with people I don't absolutely love. And I love this guy. And I said, good, let's not do that. And so he was able to build a bridge to a bridge to a bridge. Like, okay, well, what if we start doing home delivery? And what if we start doing this? And what if we just, because flow is so good for innovation and speed. Right? It's not great necessarily for optimizing the widgets. Like Six Sigma is great for optimizing the widgets, but that's useless when it comes to innovation. So by having him engage in these behaviors and keeping him on the rails, he was able to create program and system and process and program and keep rolling. He did not fire a single person. He maintained flat revenues for most of the pandemic. And today his empire is actually building. He is buying the cheese shop that he was working at. His restaurant is about to open. And he just got done with a major investment. So he's got his investors have provided him the money he was looking for, and he's on fire. He is absolutely on fire, whereas, you know, everybody else kind of fell apart, and by the time things started coming back for most people, he was already at full speed and well beyond.
Yeah, that's tremendous. That's a great story. Thanks for telling it. So let's talk a little bit about what it takes for someone after you've coached them up. What is it like? How much time is required to get into the flow state? And then is there a recovery period? Does it tax you? Like let's talk about the before and let's talk about the after, because we already talked about the during. So start with the before. How much time, how much effort does it take to employ these triggers? And you said there are 22 of them. Do I need to go through 22 or do I need to just do 2 or 3 to get me into the state?
Well, the more the merrier, right? I mean, the more triggers present, the better. There's also 3 flavors of flow. There's individual, group, and then like communitas, like mass, you know, which you might see at like a rave concert or something, or like Burning Man or something. So it takes about 20 minutes to get into a flow state. So you need to eliminate your distractions for those 20 minutes, because if your phone goes off, you get distracted, you're going to reset that clock, right? We talk about flow states, and that's kind of a misnomer. Flow is actually a 4-part cycle. So the first part is the struggle. There's the issue that you're having or the goal that you want to achieve. That's where the grind is, right? The second part is the release phase. Okay, and this is where, okay, I've been grinding on this. I'm getting a little frustrated. You know what? I'm going to walk away. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm just taking a one down and I'm going to step away from it. Then there's the actual flow state, and that's when you're really in the zone. And on the back end of that is the recovery phase, because there is what I like to call the flow hangover. And it's important to train in this. And this is one of the hardest parts to train in flow, is getting out of it at the right time, because flow feels so good. You know, you don't want to let it go. But if you don't train yourself out of flow at the right time and you sort of ride that wave all the way in, you're going to burn out all your feel-good neurochemistry, and it's going to take a lot longer to get back into flow. So it requires a massive amount of training in order to do this correctly, to optimize it. You know, anybody can get you into a flow state once, but how do you get into a flow state on the daily? That's a whole different game.
Right, right. And now talk about any kind of a downside. So you mentioned going too long, that may be more difficult the next time. Do you, you know, there are some out there, and, you know, it's a personal choice, but there are some coaches out there who teach, listen, you got to have your peak days, peak performance days, and then like complete rest days where you just unplug and get away from everything to do with work. Is that a necessary thing when you're able to perform at this high level? You probably don't need to work as much. Do you need additional rest time to, you know, either recover or, I don't know, give your brain a break? Like what is the after, and is there a downside to just getting into this state every day? Do you need more rest afterwards? Like, what is the downside?
Yeah, there is a dark side of flow. And the recovery is not really the downside. There's a discipline to it. It's really hard because people that are flow junkies, they don't want to recover, right? They don't want to rest. They don't want to stop. They want to keep going, right? So recovery is important. One of the things, like, I'll get into flow when I'm on stage, for example. I couldn't follow a script to save my life. So, if I get on stage, that is kind of where flow happens for me pretty frequently. What happens the next day is that I don't have a whole lot of feel-good neurochemistry going on, so I'm actually in a bad mood, and it's because I'm not biologically wired to be I'm not even capable of being in a good mood, right? I got no dopamine, I got no serotonin, I got no anandamide, and so I'm sort of burnt, and so I have to know ahead of time, like, okay, I have this presentation on Thursday night, I'm not going to be a very happy person on Friday. And so it probably should be a very light day for me in terms of work. So I got to structure that ahead of time so that I can recover. I also know I'm going to be, because I'm not capable, physically capable of being in a good mood, I'm probably going to have a lot of negative self-talk. I'm going to be like, oh, I screwed up last night. I forgot to tell that joke on stage. I didn't deliver that line correctly. I just, yeah, I know I'm worthless. I'm never going to be successful at anything. Like, I get it. And just not take myself too seriously. Now that's the easy part. There is a truly dark side of flow. Remember earlier I said that flow requires some risk. Now, if you're an extreme athlete, if you are, say, a snowboarder and you're jumping 50-foot gaps and you've done that enough times, 50-foot gaps no longer create any risk, so you can't get into flow. So now you need a 60-foot gap. So now you need a 70-foot gap. So now you need an 80-foot gap. And flow will quite literally get you killed. Right? Because you got to keep pushing the envelope. You got to keep going farther. You got to keep trying and stretching beyond what you think you're capable of. So there is kind of that dark side that you need to be aware of.
And how do you deal with that? Do you shift your focus from the width of the gap to the amount of time it takes you to get through the course? And can that generate the juice to trigger flow instead? Like, how do you manage that? Why isn't everybody who goes into flow then dead because they just push it too much?
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of them are, right? I mean, you know, we see a lot of extreme athletes, X Games and what have you, you know, that suffer serious injury. There was a kid, and I say kid because he was 23 years old when he died. His name was Johnny Strange. Johnny Strange was a wingsuit guy. He was a base jumper. He climbed, I think he climbed all the highest peaks on every continent by the time he was 17. He was like the youngest person to do it. And he died at the age of 23 in a wingsuit accident. And he probably lived more in his 23 years than most of us will live in 80 or 90, right? Because he was that kind of person. And he was, you know, so many people say, I'm living life to the fullest. Well, are you though? Really? I mean, and you don't have to do it in this way. I'm not saying you need to go jump out of planes in order to live life to the fullest, but are you really pushing yourself? Are you really living your best life to where everybody, every day you can say, you know what, today, it's an okay day to die because I've done it. I lived it. I went 100 every single day. While I'm not inviting it and I don't want that, I'm okay with it. I'm willing to accept that risk, right? And so people that are flow junkies, typically, whether you're an extreme athlete or whether you're a bookkeeper, you are willing to accept whatever that potential downside is because flow feels that freaking good. I mean, it's an incredible euphoric feeling. It's what in the science community they'll call an autotelic experience, which is a fancy science word for addictive, really. It's very addictive.
So how do you harness it? You're like, let's go back to the surgeon, right? Who gets into the flow state. He does complex brain surgery. He does, you know, complex cardiovascular surgery. And he's, you know, he's got to be on every single time. And, you know, this is how he makes his living. He's top 2% in his field. You don't want that guy pushing the envelope. You want him to do what he does best. And that's, you know, you don't want him to go, you know, further and further every time. So how do you harness it so that you can be in that state, get that peak performance and stay right at the edge without going over?
Yeah, you know, and I've worked with a lot of people in healthcare and physicians. I actually worked at a hospital for a while, and I don't know that the risk is ever not there for a physician, for a surgeon, right? Like somebody's life is quite literally on the line on that table every time they're doing that. Even a quote unquote minor procedure has the potential for tragedy.
Sure.
Right. So there's a high level of risk. So, you know, and physicians are well trained to manage that risk. You know, they understand. I think the danger is complacency. Right. The second, you know, I used to ride motorcycles and I had a big one. I had a big, you know, 1000 cc sport bike. And again, I'm 140 pounds. Right. So this thing was a rocket for me. And the power to weight ratio on that thing was ridiculous. And I said to myself, the day I'm not scared of throwing a leg over that thing is the day I get killed, you know? So maintaining that healthy level of humility, knowing, you know what, even as a physician, I'm not perfect. You know, I mean, we got plenty of med mal attorneys out there. There's a reason for that. Things go wrong, right? So, and I'm willing to accept that risk. I'm willing to leverage that risk. Right? Because again, fear can paralyze you or it can catapult you forward into success, depending on your relationship to it. Because fear and enthusiasm are the exact same thing according to your brain and your body, like your neurochemistry, your physiology. There's no difference between fear and excitement. So you can leverage your fear to success or you can let it paralyze you. Up to you.
Yeah, that's why we like amusement parks so much, right?
Right.
Okay, so now, Chris. What about the are there some people who just never get into this state? Are there some people who, you know, these are people who we think just kind of sleepwalk through their lives? Are there people who never experience this? Or is it just the fact that they just don't recognize what they've got when they do experience it?
I mean, that's a very good question. I would say that there are people that have very low amounts of flow and time spent in flow in their lives. And there are people that have very, you know, very frequent flow states. It's all up to the individual, you know. I think there's more life in your life, the more flow you have. I mean, there are definitely correlations between quality of life and amount of flow you have. There's a lot of research going on. You know, one of my teachers, mentors, and, you know, my spirit animal, Stephen Kotler, who is the founder of the Flow Research Collective. He's written a number of books on the subject, as well as a few others. The studies on flow right now are pretty incredible because it's no longer an option. You know, to be truly successful in the world at the speed at which things are moving, there's actually something, Ray Kurzweil came up with the law of accelerating returns that essentially says 1920 is to 2020 as 2020 is to 2030. Like, we're going to see 100 years of technological advancement and evolution over the next decade, right? So it's just, it's moving too fast to not have that level of creativity, to not have that level of speed. And there's a lot of research going on. Well, how does flow relate to, like, you know, other kind of brain illnesses? How does it relate to dementia, for example? You know, is if you get more flow, is there less chance of dementia? Like, there's a lot of studying going on right now for this.
Yeah. All right, Chris, I want you to take a minute and think of three things that people should take away from our time together. Three things you want people to remember from our conversation. While you're doing that, I'm going to remind folks once again about Sandrowski Corporate Advisors. They're an accounting firm that can help you save money on your taxes. They can also help you if you're looking to grow your business. How can they help you if you're looking to grow your business? Well, perhaps you want to buy a competitor. They can make sure you're paying the right price through the process of business valuation. They can also help you if you're looking to sell a portion of your business. Just a couple of weeks ago, again, when I was sitting with Harry, he was telling me about an engagement they had where their team had to go in and value some intellectual property that was part of a company because another firm wanted to buy this company's intellectual property. And the company that engaged Harry was thinking of getting out of that line of business. So they said, we don't know what this is worth. Can you do a valuation on it? So the Sandrowski team went to work. They figured out what it was worth. They did some comparable analysis, meaning they looked at other companies in the area, in the field. They determined the value so that the owner of the business knew what to ask for, and they negotiated a successful deal. Valuation is critical if you're buying, if you're selling, if you're going through some sort of a contentious business divorce where two partners are breaking up. What part of the business is partner A getting, and how much should he pay partner B for it? All of this can be done through business valuation services. Sandrowski's great at that. They've been doing it for 35 years. Give them a call, 866-717-1607, 866-717-1607. Also remember my Revenue Roadmap Guide. Get it right now, revenueroadmapguide.com. It's your business development plan. It'll help you grow your business through relationship-based business development strategies. Download it today. It's the same guide I use with my clients. You can customize it for your professional firm. RevenueRoadmapGuide.com. Enter your contact info. Download it for free. It's my gift to you for listening and watching. We're talking to Chris King. He's the founder of StatusFlow.net. That's his website. He's a peak performance and flow coach. Here's the thing. You got to spell peak right. It's P-I-Q-U-E. He's a peak performance coach. StatusFlow.net is his website. You can call him. Here's his phone number. 323-977-8766, 323-977-8766. Okay, Chris, what are the three things we should remember from our time together today?
So because I'm a coach, I'll answer your question with a question, right? Consultants have answers, coaches have questions. So,
all right.
So the first thing is it a goal or is it a preference? Like, if it's truly a goal, that thing that you want or that problem you want solved, if it's truly a goal, you will do what is required to make that happen. If you're not willing to do what's required, it's not a goal, it's a preference. And that's okay. Know the difference though. So that's the first thing. Number two, are you willing to be wrong? Now, this one's really hard. The ego does not like to be wrong, ever, right? And people generally cling to those beliefs, what they think is right, what they think is true. But in service to changing your physiology to come up with creative solutions, are you willing to be wrong? Are you willing to have the humility? Are you willing to suggest that, yeah, I know that thing has been proven many, many times, and what if you're still wrong? What if there is another way? What if you can do that, right? If you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them. It's one of my favorite quotes. And the last one is that you can, because this is what Status Flow is really about. Flow is not the thing that we offer. It's the way that we're going to get you there. The thing that we offer is, what do you want? Like, it could be, you know, I want to grow my business, or I want to launch a business. It could be, I want to experience my world differently. It could be, I want to shift in my relationship status. The reality is, your reality today is a result, and it's the end result of a system And if you understand what that system is, you can hack it and recode it. And you can literally, just the same way you would renegotiate a contract, you would renegotiate your relationship, you would renegotiate a job or whatever, you can renegotiate your entire existence on this planet. And if you understand how that's done.
Well, you know, so take a minute and talk about that. So if you're, let's say you're stuck, right? And I, mm-hmm. I deal with this all the time with my clients. They get to a certain level in business and, you know, like for, I use the example all the time of being, when I was young and I was a manager in a hotel, I was making $50,000 a year. And I thought that was great money. And I made $50,000 for like 3 years. And then I stumbled into a different job. And the offer they made me without even any negotiation was $100,000 a year. And all of a sudden in my brain, I went from being the $50,000 a year guy to being the $100,000 a year guy, right? Mm-hmm. And then after doing that job for a couple of years, somebody came along and offered me a job that paid me $300,000 a year. And then in my brain, I automatically went from being a $100,000 a year guy to being a $300,000 a year guy. But the interesting thing, Chris, was it was only 4 or 5 years before that I was making $50,000. Now, what changed? I was still the same guy. Yeah, I had a couple of years more experience, maybe, you know, a little bit of a different job, certainly a longer track record of success. But essentially, I was the same guy. The only thing that changed was my mindset, and I needed someone outside to validate the fact that I was a $300,000 a year guy. So I sat down and I thought to myself, what if I just tell myself that I'm $1 million a year guy? What would happen then? And that to me was something that I had to figure out on my own. If I knew you, sitting down with you in 20 minutes, we probably could have gotten to that point.
It's true.
So when you talk about renegotiating your existence, is that the kind of thing? Is it just your mental state? It's just the negotiation really is with yourself, right?
The trick to this is to, it all boils down to your self-concept. If you believe yourself to be the $50,000 a year person, you are. It's that simple. Because everything is energy, okay? You're vibrating at a certain frequency. You're a being of light and energy much more than you are a carbon-based life form, okay? So it's all about energy and frequencies. So, and this all happens, this is in the terms of physics at the subatomic and even in the quantum field, okay? So when you start shifting what you really think, your outer reality is going to start reflecting that back to you. I have a lot of clients that say, well, when I make more money, I'll feel better about myself. I said, no, you've got it backwards. When you feel better about yourself, you're going to make more money, right? So the trick is, how do I start to believe I'm the $1 million a year person without ever having achieved that? How do I get that sunk into my self-concept without setting off my internal bullshit detector, right? Where I just go, oh, no, that's not true, right? But I have clients and plenty of case studies where forget the KPIs, forget what the market is doing, forget the metrics, right? The sales figures were driven by what they're holding in their consciousness. If I can adjust what they're holding in their consciousness, I could double, triple, quadruple your business in 6 months or less, because it's a function of the frequency, right? So the trick is to stretch out beyond what you think is right, what you think is accurate, right? Because people do this all the time. Oh, well, the economy's down, inflation is crazy, I'm never gonna get more than a 4% raise, you know? Yeah, what if you're wrong, right? What if you're wrong? You can transcend what you think if you're willing to think beyond what you think.
Yeah, I mean, why not me? Right?
Right?
Somebody's going to get that money. Why not me?
Why not?
You know, why shouldn't it be? There's absolutely no reason why it should not be me. That was the shift. That was really the shift. Chris, I could talk to you about this all day long. Folks, if you want to reach out to Chris King, you need to give him a call at 323-977-8766. 323-977-8766. Chris, do you find that people who are high performance individuals are naturally drawn to you? I would imagine that your sales process is pretty easy. Somebody comes to you and they go, look, I'm good at this and I want to do this all the time. You need to help me do that. Like, is that like your sales process has got to be like, you want to be better? Okay, you don't? Well, you're not my guy. Like, what is your sales? How do people say no?
It's rare occasion. But if you're calling me, you're probably my client, really. You're one of our clients. There are four coaches, including myself, at Status Flow. And if you're reaching out to us, there's a reason. And you need to follow the energy, right? Wherever that energy is going, if it's leading you in that direction. I have a recent client that signed on. She'd been, the way I phrase it, orbiting my star for about 3 months and very hesitant, right? And because it is tough to actually become who you were meant to be. That's a very scary kind of proposition. And she was like, I'm just not sure. And I told her, I said, yes, you are. I said, look, nobody orbits my star for 3 months who isn't my client. I scare people away way faster than that, usually in about 20 minutes, right, or less. So if you're 3 months, you're still leaning in, going, I'm not sure. You're just scared. So it's, that's the thing is, look, do you really want what you want? And are you willing to embrace that fear of actually getting it,
All right, that's Chris, so tell us real quick, give us some examples of people, not, specific names, obviously, but, a stockbroker, entertainer, who are the types of people that work with Chris King?
It depends on what the coach on staff, actually. We sort of have different boxes that we play in. Generally, the men tend to be business owners. I'm just going to use binary genders here for ease of conversation. Men tend to be business owners, and they're looking for more success as they define that in some way, shape, or form. We work with small teams. Now, that might be six people in the entire organization. It might be 6 out of 600. And they are usually tasked with doing something that the company has never done before, pivot or disrupt or big buzzwords that we hear. The people that reach out to me specifically, my one-on-one clients, tend to be executive women that are overwhelmed, burned out, and kind of irritated with their spouse. That's my client.
And why? Why is it in that box? What is it about that particular person that you have the key to unlocking the flow state in them?
Yeah, it's part of it is a function of who I am and how I'm wired. There does seem to be a certain polarity that works really well. So Anna, who works for us at Status Flow, she's an executive coach. Her one-on-one clients tend to be men because there's something about the polarization of the genders that seem to work really well. So I think that's part of it. But I've also been in a place where that executive woman is, where she feels trapped. She can't get out. She's just got her business and her life is running her. When I started this company, I was living out of my car, quite literally. I was living, everything I owned was in a mid-sized sedan, and I had no physical address. And it was, do I learn how to do commercial real estate and try and make a life, or do I roll the dice on myself? And so it's like, look, I know what it's like to live the unauthentic life, the inauthentic life. And I know what it's like phoning it in, mailing it in, and getting leftovers of your own life. And that's typically the women that come to me for the one-on-one. That's where they are. They feel like their business and their life is running them instead of the other way around. And they feel like they're getting leftovers of their own lives. And as one of my teachers said to me, Chris, if it seems like there's something missing from your life, it's probably you.
Oh, interesting. Really, really, really interesting. Chris King, he's a peak performance and flow coach. You can go to statusflow.net and find out more, or you can call him 323-977-8766, 323-977-8766. Chris, it was a pleasure. I really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you. I love your energy, Dave. You're really a delight. Thank you.
All righty, folks. That'll do it for this episode of the Inside BS Show. We'll be back here again tomorrow for another edition of our show. Until then, my name is Dave Lorenzo, and here's hoping you make a great living and live a great life.